Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this super hot Wednesday here at the very end of June. Certainly deep summer at this point in the 520. The only people sticking around are those of us that are not off to Coronado Island or the White Mountains or perhaps Rocky Point or San Carlos. But I am enjoying seeing your beautiful faces around town and lots of new openings happening in the restaurant world this week. Summertime may be an unideal time for a restaurant opening in a lot of people's eyes, but quite frankly, it's a pretty good opportunity for you to open up and get some reps during the slow season so that the time that you are ready to open, you're quite frankly, like you've got 60 to 90 days under your belt of working off those rough edges. There's something to be said about actually having a bit of practice run here with the Tucson locals before season hits you. I always say it takes restaurants sometime between about 60 and 90 days to hit their groove, right? To work out all of those kinks, to understand what we call the mise en place, where the setup lies for the chef. The muscle memory of a bartender quickly being able to make drinks and reach down and grab that bottle of aperitif without even looking down, without breaking eye contact with you and being able to make that cocktail doesn't come on night one or night 31. It probably starts about night 101 or so. And so there are a few new restaurant openings for us to celebrate over here. To begin with, Casa Madre is going to open up today. I believe their soft opening. They're at 119 East 18th Street. That's Dominic Stoller's new Mexican restaurant. As mentioned on the last show as well too, Casa Asada opens up on Campbell in the former Goodness space. They've got about a week and a half under their belt. And on Monday, the Bohan family, who owns La Esquina Mexican restaurant, opened up Copal, contemporary Mexican cuisine, which happens to be located in the Williams Center at 5340 East Broadway Boulevard in the space that most recently housed the Dutch. And so it's pretty neat to see these restaurants all popping up over here. Now, if you notice one theme that they happen to be having right now are Mexican food, right? Three new Mexican restaurants already in the city that has, as Christy Simone just said, America's best Mexican food. And so can we support three more restaurants here in Tucson? Certainly a question to ask Felipe Garcia from Visit Tucson, who happens to be sponsoring now part of Jump in Tucson. And so you're going to have the opportunity to hear Felipe come in on shows on Thursdays with Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attraction Alliance as well, too. They're going to tag team a few of these Thursdays. I'm very excited to see that. I'm looking forward over the course of this season to explore what makes us America's best Mexican food. I do think that moniker is a substantial improvement over what we were doing before with the 23 miles of Tucson's best Mexican food. As we keep adding more and more restaurants, I think we're probably at 24 or 25 miles at this point. And so there's certainly something to be said about taking that title of America's best Mexican food and running with that one in Tucson. And hopefully we'll get a few of these operators on this show or perhaps on Felipe's show coming up. There was a closure, though, this week. Aurelia Coffee has announced that they're closing. They were located just briefly at the corner of 6th Avenue and 6th Street on the northwest corner of that intersection. And so, sadly, that restaurant didn't make it but about a year. And as we predicted on this show, there's going to be a rash of closures popping up in the summertime as well, too. As, quite frankly, if you didn't make it in the middle of season, June, July, August, not looking as good for you as well. Penelope's Pizza should be opening up soon as well, too, in the old Fire Truck Brewing location on Kolb over there. And so we wish those guys also a tremendous amount of luck, as everybody that takes that entrepreneurial risk on the restaurant side, putting your personal guarantee on a lease, your perhaps life fortune or life savings on there, is something that most people don't really understand the stress of until you've been in the vices of the small business world. Speaking a little bit of big business over here, the U of A had some shocking changes this week as well, too. Since our last show, I got both a call and a letter from Athletic Director of the University of Arizona, Desiree Reed-Francois, announcing that IMG/Learfield, his contract has not been renewed with the U of A. Now, those that aren't paying attention to this might not think of this as such a substantive difference, but what IMG/Learfield did was they were the advertising or agency end of the U of A. They represented and sold the U of A brand, the Block A, the Wildcat Paw, the Cat Head, the coaches shows that we do, for example, at Union Public House, where Tommy Lloyd and, you know, Jed Fish and what was going to be the Brent Brennan show happened. All were part of the IMG network. In fact, they even pay a portion of the coaches' salaries at the U of A, and then, of course, use those coaches' images to advertise things such as Hughes Federal Credit Union or the way I advertise my restaurants or things such as this nature. And so the U of A has decided that they're going to create their own entity called Arizona Sports Enterprises, and they're taking this one in-house. IMG is a huge company. They're owned by WME, William Morris Entertainment, which is the largest talent agency pretty much in the entire world. If you remember the movie Jerry Maguire, they basically based that movie off of WME Entertainment. That's how big these guys are. And the U of A is setting them free and going off on a path on their own to take this advertising in-house. And I think that's going to be a very, very interesting development as we look into seeing what that pricing structure may look like, what those corporate partners might do, what local restaurants that you see, such as the El Charros of the world, selling their fares at the stadium, or perhaps the fan fiestas at the football stadium where you see Brother John's Barbecue. All of these local restaurants are going to be affected by this. All of these advertisers are going to have to renegotiate all of these deals with the U of A. Everyone's contract is null and void right now with the U of A. Pretty wild times for sure, and something that I think all of us in Tucson should continue to pay attention to. As we think about attention and the end of summer over here, the end of season, we've kind of hit the end of the sporting activities over here with the NHL Finals going to Game 7 and ending on Monday night with a victory from the Florida Panthers. But a bigger victory has been happening here in the 5-2-0. And when we come back after the break, we're going to bring on Tucson Roadrunners president Bob Hoffman, and we're going to talk about the Roadrunners' success, the Roadrunners staying in Tucson. He's got some breaking news about how maybe, just maybe, we won't be sharing those home games with Tempe anymore. A big win for the 5-2-0 coming back up when we join you after the break. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Bob Hoffman coming up. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona, to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and this morning we are joined by Bob Hoffman, president of the Tucson Roadrunners. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Grant, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us on Jump In Tucson today.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. It's been a busy few weeks, a busy offseason, and I'm excited to kind of start looking forward and talk some hockey.
No, we're excited to talk hockey with you today on Jump In. You were a guest of the show just a few months ago, right during the playoffs, and we were talking about, you know, the future of the Roadrunners was a bit uncertain at that time as the Phoenix franchise was looking to potentially sell, and it looks like that sale has, of course, happened.
Yep, that sale happened. The team, obviously with the arena issues and trying to work to get an arena built in North Phoenix and in the Tempe initiative they had in years past, a vote that failed there. The team has sold to where it is now the Utah Hockey Club. The owner of the Utah Jazz owns that team. And then from the Coyote side of things, unfortunately for the folks statewide, but certainly more specifically in Maricopa County, that they don't have their hockey team there. But that created a lot of potential possibilities and looking for the Roadrunners to play statewide a little bit more, or even at some point talking of playing, as many as, a dozen or more games up in the Tempe area to kind of fill that hockey void from the Coyote side of things. And a lot of that, it just would ebb and flow and figuring out what was happening down the road. We've ended up in a spot that we announced this week that is exciting, certainly for Tucson hockey fans and for all the people in Southern Arizona that love the Roadrunners, that all 36 games, the entire schedule, the entire season is what we'll be looking at. And also, we've extended to where we have 2 years left on the lease, but we've added a year to that at a minimum with option years, and looking to obviously go longer than that here in the in the coming months, that we can talk to the city and work towards making sure we solidify hockey in Southern Arizona for the future.
This is absolutely fantastic news, Bob. All 36 games of the Roadrunners are now going to be in Tucson. You are hearing it here first on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. So we're not going to be sharing any games with Tempe at this point?
Not at all. Not at all. There will be very little, if any, presence of the Roadrunners up there, in the greater Phoenix area. We certainly want to and have an initiative we're working on, a campaign to where we want to make sure we let everybody know statewide that their pro team is down here in Tucson. The flag flies, really big and bright, and we're just down the I-10. So we're hopefully going to gain some hockey fans and people that are going to miss the sport because they don't have that access and availability up in the Phoenix area. We've seen that in the past when we've hosted NHL preseason games during our playoffs, because the Coyotes obviously went through quite a drought of missing the playoffs. So a lot of, for a lot of people and hockey fans in the state, their only opportunity to see postseason action was to come down to Tucson and catch us. So we've really tried to grow that database, grow that list, and get the information out. So we'll do a little bit of advertising and making sure the word is out in Phoenix and in that area to let people know, come down the road to the I-10. The Tucson Arena is a great place to watch a game, and our arms are wide open, and we welcome you.
This is fantastic news, Bob. It's so rare that we're able to vest in some capacity and beat the Phoenix metro area in just about anything, whether it's politics, whether it's sports. I could argue local restaurants a bit, but to ultimately be able to have the only professional hockey team in Arizona here and the 520 is incredibly big news. And I think a big portion of the thanks has to come to the fan base that really stood up and supported the Roadrunners. There were petitions, Facebook pages, letters, like a really major campaign went on to keep this team here in Tucson.
We're so blessed, Grant, to have the group of fans that we've got, the partners that we have. There was so much outpouring of support from the fans who wanted their voice to be heard, from our partners who screamed loud, who wanted to make sure that not only like local media knew, and we don't want to lose our Roadrunners to the Roadrunners belong in Tucson, all of those pieces. But they went further. They went to the ownership group who was impressed, and they went to the American Hockey League. They went to the American Hockey League's Board of Governors. I went to a Board of Governors meeting in early May. The first letter in our packet was from our fan base, that they wanted all of the governors to at least see, to show the support that Tucson has given this American Hockey League team and that this is an AHL market. It really is awesome to be wanted. It's awesome to, feel the love and the support that comes with that. And certainly on the heels of what was a great season for us. And we had growth in every single statistical business category. We had our record season on the ice. Unfortunately, much too early of a departure from the playoffs as we lost in the first round. Not to put excuses out there, but in any way, shape, or form, you got to go out and win the games. But there was just a lot of noise, not only around our fan base with the potential sale and what was happening and the uncertainty of hockey in Tucson. I really think it had an impact on our coaching staff and on our players. And it's just tough to put blinders on and not, read everything you see and not hear everything that's being spoken. And, unfortunately, we'll have to live with that. And now we've got a chance at least to kind of rebound, revitalize, and come back next year bigger and stronger.
Without a doubt. As we were discussing before the break, sports is big business, right? And there's a lot of news that's happened on the business front with the U of A and how they're handling their sports. And obviously there's a lot of business and of the hockey business that went into this decision to stay in Tucson. And none could be more important locally than the participation too of Rio Nuevo and some of the concessions that they made. Can you talk about some of the changes that Rio Nuevo made to help incentivize the Roadrunners to stay in Tucson?
Yeah, that's another great point. I've said in the past, I don't think that people pound their chest loud enough about what a great organization Rio Nuevo is for the city of Tucson. And now selfishly, I can say that, yes, they had an impact in renovations at the arena 8 years ago and things that they've done to make the arena more fan-facing friendly. And obviously all the technology they've put in there, that all helps the Roadrunners. That all helps the fans that come to the games. But I think sometimes you can take that for granted. Now, I can never take that for granted again. I look at it right in the face and see what Rio Nuevo did to step up to say, hey, we understand that playing in Tempe might financially be a better solution for you and might financially make more money with the corporate base, with the number of people up there. I mean, you're dealing with, you know, 5 million plus people in a market. So all of a sudden they looked at that and said, we understand that. How can we help? Here's what we're able to do. And this is right in line with our mandate and what we're allowed to do to generate growth and business in the downtown district. And they stepped up to the plate to give us those incentives and to be able to just make life a little bit easier. And, you know, on that front, for sure. I mean, we've got to make sure as a staff here with the Roadrunners, as an organization, we're going to do everything we can to be better. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that we've always had a, what we felt was a great entertainment option and a great value for your dollar. We're going to make sure we do even better with that. And in turn, as a part of that, you know, handshake contract we want to make with the community and with the corporate base, we want to say, come out and take a look at us and support us. And you may say you love hockey and you come to one game a year. Could you come to two? Could you come to three? Because that's the only way we're going to continue to grow and to really never have this issue again that hockey can't survive financially in Tucson.
So you were saying we've got a two-year deal locked up for sure, potentially three. What's on the horizon for that? And what do we need to do as a community to help lock the Roadrunners up in Tucson for longer than a two- or three-year stint?
Yeah, on our current lease, there's 2 years left, and due to the incentives from Rio Nuevo, we committed to a third year, so that was a little bit of a trade-off. So there are 3 years guaranteed. So we'll be here for this season, the 25-26 and the 26-27 under the current agreement. But in the meantime, we'll work to negotiate something longer term to make sure that hockey does remain here in the desert and remains in Tucson. And the biggest thing, so that it helps in those negotiating points and in the leverage with ownership, so that they make sure that this is a good decision for them, because as you mentioned before, sports is a big business. That support is what's needed. You know, as I said, come to games, bring your companies out, bring your businesses out. I think, you know, sometimes complacency maybe comes in, and we had that honeymoon period and a great start to our time here in Tucson. We had some great runs, you know, but I think it's just easy sometimes maybe to say, you know, yes, we can come down on a Saturday night and pack the place. You know, but Tucson has so many things to do and so many options that I think sometimes fans might just say, we'll catch the score on the radio or we'll take a look in the paper. And every dollar is going to count. And, you know, from that side of things, the support we can get from the corporate base and what we can get from a fan base, we're going to step up our game, and we're asking the community as well to step up theirs.
We're going to have to do that one for sure. I'm reaching out to all you Tucsonans listening out there, to Bob Hoffman, president of the Tucson Roadrunners, calling us out here to support our local sports. It's amazing to have professional sports that are Tucson-based, something that isn't just the U of A. And this is our opportunity here. We got not just a minor win against Tempe, but an absolutely major win out there. And all of us are going to have to step up to the plate, and perhaps to the ice over here is a better analogy, to support the Tucson Roadrunners and keep us going. Coach Steve Potvin coming back next year as well, too?
He is. We finished that agreement, and he will be back. From the fans' perspective, not a lot will change from what they'll see, as we are still affiliated with the exact same group of hockey people. The good guys like Bill Armstrong and John Ferguson and Steve Potvin that have been managing the Coyotes and their growth in the hockey world, is they're one of the more exciting teams in the NHL due to all the youth that they've got and due to all the draft picks they've got. They have a lot of capital that they can put into free agents. So that Utah hockey team, who have not come up with a name as of yet, they're just the Utah hockey team, that our fans are going to see all the familiar faces there. So, you know, Matthew Villalta, who was an all-star last year in goal for us and one of the top netminders in the league, he's been re-signed to a three-year deal, so he'll be back playing in Tucson. So that's one thing that I think is really a big benefit, because a lot of times when these sorts of pebbles hit the water and there are some different alterations that happen, things look a lot differently. You're all of a sudden looking at a new coach. You're looking at a new roster because maybe your affiliation's different. That's not the case here. We're going to look the same. It's gonna be great. It's just, instead of taking the drive up the I-10 to play in the NHL, when they get called up in Phoenix, they're going to get on a plane and fly out of Tucson International Airport, and they're going to fly from here to Salt Lake City and play in the NHL up in Utah.
Amazing. Hey, we've got a minute left over here before break. Give us the rundown on, when is opening day? When are we dropping that puck for the first game? And when and where can fans get tickets?
Yep, Saturday, October the 19th, we announced last week, will be the home opener. Excited to welcome the fans back. We're going to really have a great rally there to try to welcome and thank everybody that did what they could to make sure that their voices were heard to keep the Roadrunners in Tucson. The city council, the mayor, the new city manager, Tim Tamir, Mike Ortega before his departure, as well as Rio Nuevo, which we've already discussed. Just tremendous support to say, hey, this is our team and we want to keep them. We're going to celebrate that on Saturday, October the 19th. And you can go to TucsonRoadrunners.com to get all the information on getting your tickets. Season tickets are available right now. The schedule comes out in about a week, and then we'll have all of our other packages put together with some really fan-friendly packages that make it really easy to jump in and be a part of this.
Thanks so much for jumping in on Jump In Tucson. You've listened to Bob Hoffman from the Tucson Roadrunners, sticking around for at least three more years. Don't go anywhere. Carrie Lake, U.S. Senate candidate, coming up after the break. Jump in. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. You're listening with your host, Grant Kruger. This morning, we've got U.S. Republican Senate candidate Carrie Lake on the line. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Grant. Good morning, Tucson. I hope everyone's doing great. I'm on my way down right now, and I'm looking forward to getting there.
We're looking forward to having you here in the 520. I understand you've got an event this evening at the Outlaw.
Yes, we do. We've got an incredible UFC champ, Tito Ortiz, joining us. He's coming down to Tucson to do some events with me. We have a busy day, actually. We're going to start the day at the Marana Animal Auction. I'm going to be talking to a lot of ranchers, farmers there, and then we're meeting with Southern Arizona Leadership Council this afternoon, doing a little bit of media, and then Tito Ortiz is coming to town for an event that's open to the public. It's at the Outlaw Bar and Grill.
That's located for our listeners at 1302 West Roger Road in the Roger and Flowing Wells area, for those that don't know. And we're really excited to have you here in Tucson, Carrie. I think that we don't get an opportunity to see even our current incumbent senators all that often in the 520. And so it's pretty great to have you down here and visit. What makes you pick the Outlaw? That area in the 85705 can be kind of a tougher neighborhood in Tucson over here. If you get an opportunity to drive down First Avenue or Stone Avenue in those areas, you're going to see some of the tougher homeless encampment areas and the most afflicted areas in Southern Arizona that our local government hasn't exactly stepped up to the plate to help out.
Well, and it's a shame. I mean, I do want people to know we will have security there, so people are going to be safe. We don't have to worry about that. But it's really a shame. I mean, Tucson has always been one of my favorite cities. I spend more time in Tucson almost than any other candidate in the entire state. We have an office there. We are committed to helping the people in Pima County. This is a county that has so much potential, but because of bad leadership, it's hard to run a business there. We've got a homeless population that's just out of control. It's people living in despair on the streets, boarded up businesses. I don't need to tell you that. And I say this as a way of saying it doesn't have to be this way. And I know that the residents of Pima County know it doesn't have to be this way. They're just waiting for some leadership. So I have to turn Pima County around. We have to start working to get these people off the street, get them in rehab, get them cleaned up, help make them contributing citizens to our community. But we can't do that if we have an open, non-ending flow of fentanyl and other drugs pouring in from Mexico. And that's why we have to take a very serious look at treating these cartels as what they are, international terrorists pushing a weapon of mass destruction into our country. And so I'm going to be tough on the border. I think anybody who followed my governor's race knows I had the toughest, most aggressive border plan to secure the border, vet people who are coming in, stop the flow of drugs, and push back the cartels. And we're going to do the same thing, except this time I'll be in the U.S. Senate helping President Trump, who has endorsed me because he knows I'm a fighter, and I'll get to D.C. and work to solve these problems for once and for all. We don't have to have cities that are boarded up. We don't have to have thousands and thousands of chronically homeless street people roaming on our streets. We don't have to have parks that we can't use. We can turn this around, and we have the plan to do that.
I can't wait to see that plan in action over here. You've got the support of both President Trump and the grand majority of sitting Republican senators right now in this race. How's the recent polling looking? I just saw an NRSC polling that had you up 1 point in this race.
It's looking really good. I mean, it's all right there, kind of tied. You know, whether I'm up one or two or three or down one or two, it's right there in the margin of error. So it's pretty much a dead heat race. Every once in a while, you'll see a poll that a liberal or partisan puts out saying I'm way behind. That is absolutely not true. My internal polling shows us up actually 5 to 7 points. But we're going to have to fight this out because Ruben Gallego has all the money in the world. He's supported and endorsed by Hillary Clinton. Not only that, George Soros and that money machine. And that's an endless supply of money. He's put, I think, about $25 million in ads. And he really can't get above 45, 46 points. And so that's trouble for him. The Democrats are looking at this race and they're thinking, oh my gosh, we just poured $25 million in ads on Ruben Gallego, the most radical leftist to ever run for office in Arizona, one of the most radical people in the country. They put $25 million in ads and he did not get a bump in the polling. They know they're in trouble, and once we start defining him for who he is, and we're just starting to put some ads up right now, but there's a whole lot more coming, his poll numbers are going to drop because the people of Arizona don't want an open borders, a defund the police, pro-sanctuary city, anti-cop senator in D.C. He will never fight for the people of Arizona. And when people find out that he's behind all of these terrible policies that are crashing our economy, making inflation spike to 40, 50-year highs. He voted for all that stuff. He's voted for Joe Biden's agenda, not 90% of the time, not 95% of the time, 100% of the time. He is exactly a mini-me Joe Biden, and I think anybody is 40 years younger, by the way. Can you imagine 40 more years of Joe Biden?
I try not to think of that one.
I can barely imagine 4 more months, to be honest. So, you know, once we start really defining him, and we haven't even started hitting him, we're going to watch his poll numbers drop. Mine are going to go up. I think there's about, in a variety of polls, about 10 to 13% of the public who says they're undecided. I don't think with the way the direction this country is going, those undecided voters are going to decide in November to go with the Democrats, who have really created so much chaos, not only in America, not only in Arizona, but across the globe, as we're staring down World War III, wide open border, a fentanyl pipeline and a human and child trafficking pipeline coming through Arizona, inflation that's just killing the average worker and the average resident of Arizona. I don't think they're going to side with Ruben Gallego and Joe Biden.
No, the first presidential debate is coming up, of course, tomorrow as well, too. I understand you've got a watch party in Chandler at the Forum Lounge.
Yes, we do. We're looking forward to that. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. President Trump, of course, the Democrats always get all the rules in their favor. And, you know, the Republicans never do. And he's got to go against, he's really going to be debating three people, the two CNN, you know, Democrat hosts, and also Joe Biden, or, you know, what's left of Joe Biden, a shell of a man. And they're going to be, you know, cutting his mic off and trying to, you know, go after President Trump while they softball Joe Biden. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think President Trump will do well. He knows the issues front and back, left and right. He knows exactly where he stands on the issues. He's got a great record to talk about because he gave us great prosperity, the greatest economy of our lives, and greatest security, not just national security, but on the world stage, he gave us peace and prosperity. So he's got a great record to talk about. Joe Biden, on the other hand, if he can even get sentences out, he doesn't have much to stand on here.
Do you think debates like this even make a difference, that people in America haven't truly decided between Donald Trump and Joe Biden? And likewise, do you think that that makes a difference in the Republican primary as well, too? Because I understand they're having a debate today where one of your opponents is just going to be up on the stage by himself.
Well, I do think, you know, this debate with President Trump and Joe Biden, how would it change voters? You know, maybe there'll be some Democrats watching who will look at Joe Biden and say, gosh, he's just not what we thought he was. A, we didn't get the policies that we want. They didn't turn out the way we wanted. And he's definitely not sharp. He is cognitively, we've seen the decline. We've seen the decline. And so we, you know, we don't want to vote for him again. So that could change things right there. But I think with President Trump, we've got such a huge following for the America First movement. There's no denying that it worked for everybody. And I think that he's going to just continue to hold that and bring people over. Every day we're watching independents come over. We're watching Democrats who are disaffected come over. And I think it's really important. When it comes to my race, my primary race is coming up here. I'm way ahead in the polls, 31%. I've already done a debate. And I just don't think it's, my time is better used going after my true enemy. And my true opponent is Ruben Gallego. I don't need to go and attack Republicans. I want to go after the man who's going to try to destroy this country. There's two of them, Joe Biden and Ruben Gallego. That's the best use of my time and getting out there and talking to voters. I think the people of Arizona know I don't shy away from any conversation with anybody. I don't shy away from a fight, but this is not the fight. My fight is with Ruben Gallego, and I've already done one debate. I don't think I need to continue to do more debates.
Understood.
Especially with the liberals over at the Clean Elections. They hide behind a fancy name like Clean Elections, but we saw what they did in the governor's race when Katie Hobbs refused to debate. They gave her her own platform. She didn't follow any of the rules. And I told my team then, I told the people of Arizona, I will never work with those Clean Elections folks because they're unfair and they're frankly partisan.
Understood. Well, you certainly are not afraid of a fight or afraid of a camera or the media. You've got the Ask Me Anything tour coming to Tucson today in the 520 at the Outlaw. We're going to go to break here for just a minute. Please stick around on your drive down. Carrie Lake coming to Tucson today. Got multiple stops for you. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Carrie Lake and Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. We are joined by Republican Senate candidate Carrie Lake on her way down to the 520. Welcome back, Carrie.
Hey, good to be with you. I'm already here. I'm in Marana.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming down to Tucson. For those just joining in, Carrie's got an event today at the Outlaw that is going to have UFC great Hall of Famer Tito Ortiz endorsing her as well, Carrie, on the Ask Me Anything tour.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, there's so many issues that we're all facing, Grant. And I think everyone's struggling in some way. And for working class folks and middle class people and families out there, it's just a constant struggle with the economy the way that it is. And we can change that. It doesn't have to be this way. We're gonna rebuild the Trump economy. We're going to help put more money back into the pockets of Arizonans who are working hard, secure the border, stop the illegal immigrants from pouring in, finish the border wall. We want to restore law and order. We want safe streets once again, and we had that under President Trump. Ruben Gallego, my opponent, has actually marched and defund the police rallies. I mean, that to me is disqualifying. Why would you ever do that? He actually wanted to get rid of the filibuster when he's a congressman right now. He wanted to get rid of the filibuster to pass the George Floyd legislation, which would have defunded the police nationwide. And now he's running, you know, $25 million in ads trying to paint himself as a cross between Mr. Rogers and G.I. Joe. And really, he's Nancy Pelosi with a beard.
Oh, my. Strong words there by Carrie Lake, for sure. Hey, as part of the Ask Me Anything tour, I'm wondering if you could answer one question for me. And as you drive down Marana from Marana today into Tucson, right, you're going to see quite the dichotomy, the difference between a municipality like Marana that is growing and the difference between what the city of Tucson looks like in that particular area where the Outlaw is, an area where, you know, Tito Ortiz might be a very helpful character over there, you know, to look out for us. What can you do differently as a senator to help out the city of Tucson? And do you think that crime is actually down in the city of Tucson? Our mayor most recently on a KVOA event this week said that crime is down 30%. Do you think that's the case?
Well, we're watching so many once wonderful, thriving cities collapse under terrible, destructive Democrat leadership. Or I shouldn't even use the word leadership because that's not leadership. Look at San Francisco. It used to be a world-class, beautiful city. People don't even want to go there. Near the wharf, which was a huge tourist area, everything's boarded up. Same with Tucson. It's so wrong. We've got a world-class university. We have so many great things about Tucson, and then we have terrible, really, liberals leading the city into total destruction. And that's why places like Marana and places that are unincorporated or run by Republicans and conservatives, people are flocking to those places because it's safer to live there. The streets are cleaner. They don't have the homeless problem. They don't have the crime problem. Crime is up nationwide. Just like the Democrats are trying to tell us the economy's fine, there's no inflation, they are monkeying with the numbers because they are trying to win an election. We know crime is up because almost everybody I know has been affected by crime, including myself. I mean, my husband's business has been broken into. He's had, you know, storage areas broken into. People's cars are broken into or stolen. Everyone's dealing with crime, and those are the smaller crimes up until assault. And now we're seeing with the people pouring over the border unvetted, we're seeing, you know, children being killed and women being raped and attacked. And so crime is up. We don't believe the numbers because they're not reporting the crime numbers accurately to the people. But we know what's happening on the street. And yes, we can do something about it. You know, federal dollars, when you control those federal dollars and you say, we're not going to give these dollars if you're going to run your city this way, it's hurting the people. We can actually come in and help assist to make sure that our police departments are fully staffed, so that we have safety and security on our streets, and give the police what they need, which is immunity, so they can actually go out there and do their job. Their hands aren't tied, and they have to not pull over people and not arrest people who are committing crimes because, you know, they just know they're going to be thrown right back on the streets, or they're afraid they're going to get in trouble as they're arresting a criminal and putting them away.
Well, Carrie, we are super excited to have you coming down to Tucson over here. Like I said earlier in the show, getting Senate involvement here in Tucson, even getting the attention of our electeds on a national level here in the 520 is something that's not so easily come by. So we certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us today. For those that want to contribute or to participate in your campaign in any way possible, give us a plug for the website. Where can they reach you?
Well, I appreciate that. Carrie Lake, KARILAKE.com. You know, I've always been a candidate that cares deeply about Tucson. I see so much potential for Tucson, and I know that everybody who lives there does as well. There shouldn't be, you know, miles and miles and miles of streets with businesses boarded up and people living on the streets. This should be a thriving city. This should be a city when we help turn things around, where businesses say, oh my goodness, we do want to invest. We do want to build a business there and hire people. We want to invest in Tucson. We can have that, and we can make that happen, but we have to get out and vote. And I need your vote in July. We've got a primary. Even though I'm, you know, 30 points up, I still need your vote. We got to get out there and vote. And then on November 5th, we're going to vote for America First people like Donald Trump, like myself, and make sure that we get the right people in there to turn things around. The good news is we can turn things around quickly. We don't have to be living the way we're living. We don't have to have a wide open border. We don't have to have crime and an economy that is collapsing. We can turn this around quickly, and I believe our brightest and strongest and most prosperous days are ahead of us.
Very positive messages there from United States Republican Senate candidate Carrie Lake. Carrie, thank you so much for joining us here on Jump in Tucson, and enjoy your stay here in the 520. We're big fans. If there's anything we can do to help you out, please let us know. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Grant, and we'll see you a little bit later tonight, Tucson.
That, again, was Senate candidate Carrie Lake. Thank you so much for joining us. And I really appreciate all of our listeners for taking the time to jump in and listen to a local-based radio show here in Tucson, Arizona. We really do try to cover things that affect what is going to happen on us here. Anybody can talk about Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, but how do these things affect us here in Tucson? Happens to be an issue that is so not covered by local media. And so it has been a pleasure to be with you here this morning. I do want to bring up one quick point, and that is our tipped episode is going to be coming up in 2 weeks on July 9th. I'm going to fill in for the Ted Maxwell from SALC, where Carrie will be going, and later on this afternoon. And we're going to talk about Senate Concurrent Resolution 1040. We're going to do a whole show breaking that one down, what the Tipped Worker Protection Act means for employees in the state of Arizona. Christy Simone talked about minimum wage issues on Wake Up Tucson this morning. We're going to break that one down on the 9th of July.
That's there's the Senate concurrent resolution and possibly a competing proposition. So there's a referral and an initiative, right?
Correct. And so there's a group called One Fair Wage, or known as Raise the Wage AZ, that is looking to make the minimum wage $18 an hour in the state of Arizona, a tremendous sum. And that would also eliminate the tipped wage that servers make and essentially make their wage $18 an hour, which would pretty much put us at about the highest minimum wage in the United States and be the death now to the tipped compensation system as we know it. And so The Tip Worker Protection Act is currently being sued right now, actually in state court, trying to say that it is a misnomer and not actually in any way, shape, or form protecting the tip worker's income, which is factually incorrect. And so the Arizona Restaurant Association has hired an attorney to protect their interests, Andrew Gould, who happened to be a state Supreme Court justice that ran for attorney general before losing to Abe Hamadeh in that race. And he's going to represent our interests there. That's coming up in 2 weeks on Jump in Tucson. But tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attraction Alliance. We've got Dr. Ed Ackerley
Mini on Time Friday. Museum.
Yeah, on the Mini Time Museum tomorrow. Felipe Garcia is going to be part of the show coming up in future episodes as well. Thank you for spending your mornings with us here on Jump in Tucson. I have been your host, Grant Kruger. You are listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.